Good morning. It is 9:03 a.m. on January the 11th, 2010. We are in the sixth floor of the DNA building in Avenue Guam. This is the DISID conference room. We are here for the appeal of Guam Cleaning Masters, in the appeal of Guam Cleaning Masters, and that is docket number OPA-PA-09-009. And we are here for the formal hearing on the merits for this appeal. I am Anthony Camacho. I am the hearing officer for the Office of Public Accountability. Will the other members of the Office of Accountability present today please identify themselves for the record?
Doris Flores, Public Auditor.
Vincent Duenas, Auditor.
Anne Camacho, Analyst.
Thank you. Will the appellant, counsel for the appellant, please identify himself and any institutional representatives that are with him today?
Good morning, Hearing Officer, Madam Public Auditor. My name is Attorney Doug Moylan, representing Guam Cleaning Masters. Guam Cleaning Masters President will not be present today. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Moylan. Will the counsel for the Department of Chamorro Affairs, a purchasing agency, please identify himself for the record and any institutional representatives that are present with him today?
Mr. Hearing Officer, my name is Roland Manson. I'm the attorney for the Department of Chamorro Affairs. There will not be any institutional representatives for this hearing.
Okay, and then the first order of business for this morning, before we proceed with a formal hearing, is I believe the parties have reached an agreement. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And this agreement is set forth in the stipulation of order that was filed on December the 28th, 2009. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. The issue with this is normally when the parties come to an agreement, a matter could be under the rules of appeal now, procedures for appeal. Generally, a matter can be dismissed with or without prejudice by the parties, or an appeal can be withdrawn by the appellant. That's normally what occurs when such agreements are made. In this instance, though, a stipulation in order basically commanding, which would require the public auditor to command the purchasing agency to take certain acts, albeit by agreement, is not allowed under the procedural rules. Your options, I guess, are to form your agreement wherein it will result in a dismissal with or without prejudice, or a withdrawal of the appeal, or a decision. And of course, we can draft a decision to the extent allowed by the rules, the law, the law procurement rules and regulations and laws, in accordance with the stipulation in the order. So I ask you, of the three options, which do you prefer?
Can we consult for a minute?
Sure. You want to go off the record?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Listen. Okay, we're back on the record at 9:08 a.m. Giving the parties time to consult what agreement, if any, has been made.
Mr. Hearing Officer, some of the concerns that were originally brought up were the ability of the terms of our agreement to actually be enforceable. We had the public auditor is well aware, the terms of the agreement required the cancellation of the agreement. I thought it would not only be important for our client to have that, but maybe for the Department of Chamorro Affairs to be able to rely upon a finding of the public auditor so that, you know, they can go forward with the person they contracted with, Lucky Kids, in order to establish that there has been a cancellation. Because right now it would be a position of the government that they're canceling the agreement, potentially exposing them to liability. Attorney Mantegna has indicated that he preferred that we go through a dismissal without prejudice. I indicated that I could draft something. He'd like to look over the drafting, and it would be to the effect that how do we put this? That if we needed to come back to the public auditor, it would still be open to pursue the complaint. In the provision, it indicated that the contract was going to be canceled, the bid was going to be rebid. One of the terms is already being effectuated. There's been an emergency procurement that the governor has declared, and DCA has contacted my client. That was one of the provisions that we had agreed to without the OPA's involvement. That's already underway, that they're going to be permitted to submit a temporary proposal for the services that are needed. So, you know, kind of putting this on the table for the OPA, I have no problem.
There's just one other term.
I'm sorry.
The other term is that he'll be submitting, and part of the dismissal will be that he will withdraw his appeal. So it's the right. Final vote.
Well, keep in mind that a dismissal and an appeal, that's not coupled, or a withdrawal of an appeal, that's not coupled with any order from the public auditor authorizing anything. However, such appeals could be without prejudice?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That's right.
It's just withdrawal and dismissal.
We'd like to go with a dismissal without prejudice. You know, given everything that we've kind of put on the table here, if the OPA believes that would be effectuating our intent, we have no problem. We trust DCA will fulfill its terms in the agreement. They've already started doing that.
Okay, but keep in mind that there's still the 15-day timeline, okay, between the discovery of an action and the time you have to file a protest.
Okay. Okay.
And then if that protest is, 14-day period, and then after that protest is filed, then there would be that 15-day timeline to file an appeal. So. This would end this action, okay? So you understand the process. You don't automatically come back here. You would be filing a protest, which would then be decided.
We have started because we received an email from the OPA regarding some of the issues that we're going to be discussing today. I had the weekend to research part of it and to also think about it. And I would respectfully submit to the OPA that under the rules as I've read them, you probably have the authority to maintain jurisdiction because the initial triggers have already been met, which was the exercising of the protest and the filing of the appeal and so forth. There's case authority that I've seen that says that once the dismissal occurs, well, you can't do a stipulation and dismiss the case. And that's why I didn't put in the stipulation to dismiss the case. A bigger concern with the OPA's office is that not permitting the parties to stipulate to an agreement would thwart future parties trying to resolve it amicably and cause the government to have to kick its resources into play in a whole hearing and so forth. I was hoping the OPA's office would maintain its jurisdiction, basically stay the case pending the outcome of the parties performing. Majority in the works of performing. If we dismiss it, as you point out, there could be a problem on bringing it back. And how would you enforce an agreement of the parties? And I would think that it would be something that you'd want to do is to facilitate amicable resolutions like we were able to come to.
Well, for example, if essentially the law and procurement law requires all parties to act in good faith. Mm-hmm. So if this is a bad faith act simply to induce the appellant to withdraw its appeal, okay, that could be grounds of a future protest. Okay, just so you understand. But once the public, once the case is dismissed or the appeal is withdrawn, the public auditor no longer has jurisdiction over the matter, unless we go with the third option, which is a decision. But if the public auditor renders a decision in this case, it will be, although she may take some parts of what you agree on, she might exercise her jurisdiction to add other requirements or findings in accordance with the facts of this case and the law. Likewise, pursuant to the law giving the public auditor jurisdiction, after that decision is issued, either of the parties still has a right to appeal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If that was the case, then Mr. Hearing Officer, then we prefer to litigate the entire matter. But I think that we're looking for an amicable resolution. I think Mr. Moreland is agreeable, and I think that what we're basically saying is that we'll stipulate to jurisdiction of this court or of this board or public auditor on the matter with a dismissal without prejudice. I think that there isn't going to be any further action. As Mr. Moreland indicated, we've already begun the process for the media and the other terms stipulated in our agreement. But to facilitate a speedy and a resolution of this matter, we're willing to agree to those terms, and we're willing to agree to the jurisdiction of this court.
Okay. I guess, how about this? Would you like us to schedule Okay, so when do you think you could have the agreement filed or the dismissal filed? Assuming you come to an agreement?
We believe that the majority of it is just if I add one or two terms and we're done.
Next 3 days. Give me next 3 days.
Next 3 days?
Yeah.
Okay. So that would be by the Thursday, which would be the 14th?
We'll send it over to Attorney Maximilian's office. Mr. Hearing Officer, can I just get one clarification? Because practically speaking for my client, there was a cost issue that we had provided the assigned, itemization. Might I inquire with Mr. Mancinonia, that's on its way to be taken care of?
Yeah.
So that was the key thing, the cost of Mr.
Okay, but you can work that out with the Department of Tomorrow.
I just wanted to confirm on the record that that was, that is part of the agreement, obviously.
Yeah.
But within the next 3 days, by Thursday, I should be able to submit it to the public auditor's office
to
advise with the dismissal without prejudice.
So I will give the parties until 5 o'clock p.m. on Thursday, January the 14th, 2010, to submit their proposed dismissal of this action. And if I do not receive the proposed dismissal on that date and time, then we will schedule this matter. Or basically, I'm going to basically continue the formal hearing today, but I won't schedule a date, okay, if we receive the proposed dismissal. Of course, this matter is ended and no formal hearing will be required, okay? But if I don't receive your dismissal by Thursday, I'll set another formal hearing date, okay? And we'll proceed, unless the parties waive, of course, their right to a formal hearing and decide to proceed with what's been filed, okay? I'll issue an order today to that effect. On another matter, concerning the termination of the bidder, bidder who was awarded the contract, what are the parties, how are the parties going to address who is performing these cleaning services at Chamorro Village after the contract is terminated? Well, between the time of...
Okay, there'll be an emergency procurement for the services in the interim until the final bidder is selected in this case. So during the procurement process, there will be an emergency procurement in effect. And I believe that my client has agreed to have Mr. Miller's client as one of the parties.
Okay.
Part of the terms of the agreement.
So the bottom line is that these services, which are important to the health, safety of the general public, of course, are going to continue between now and the time that a permanent vendor is selected. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and that's fine. Do the parties have any other issues or questions they'd like to address or take up at this time?
Nothing on behalf of the Department of Foreign Affairs.
Nothing, thank you.
Okay, then these proceedings are hereby continued to another date and time, which will be scheduled unless the parties submit a dismissal by Thursday, January 14, 2010. Thank you. Off the record.